Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Every summer in Chicago, the sunshine spotlights the city's spectacular skyline. Its luxurious lakeshore, marvelous monuments, and the over 200 neighborhoods in the city. And it also brings to light two of the greatest sports franchises in the world. On the north side, it's the Cubs. On the south side, it's the White Sox. This is Crosstown Crosstalk.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 11 of Crosstown Crosstalk, presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny. And as you could tell, there's no little long-haired dude sitting there waiting to say, my name's Joey. Joey's on vacation. He is in Michigan hanging out with his buddies, having a good old time doing some fishing and riding in the sand dunes. And, you know, he's not here. I honestly think it's because he's scared, because on Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, our hockey show, for those who watch, we made our predictions of who the Seattle Kraken are going to take. This dude got three right. Three. And I got eight, so he owes me a new hat. And I'll wear it on the show. Can't wait till he has to spend his hard-earned money on me. That's going to be awesome. The Kraken, weird. Nobody understands their selections. But I want to get involved with another sport. I know this is a baseball show, and I'm going to kind of try to do like a Colin Coward type by myself thing here. I'm not going to give really bad takes like Colin Coward, but you get the point. I really want to give a shout-out to a team that's somewhat local to us here in Illinois, the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm not the biggest basketball guy, but Giannis Antetokounmpo, man, the Greek freak, what a performance. It's honestly hard for me to think of another athlete in the NBA that I like more than him. He's just so easy to root for. And I highly encourage everyone who watches this show or Bar Down or supports the Barroom in general, go check out Bulls 101 and all the other Bulls-related and basketball-related programming that goes on here in the Barroom Network. I hope you check it out, because there's some good stuff going on in the NBA. Suns-Bucks was awesome. I haven't been that entertained by NBA basketball in a long time. And, you know, my pals up in Milwaukee, I know they're having a good time. I'm very happy for them, because whenever a team wins any sort of championship for the first time in 50 plus years, I'm always super excited for it. And they're kind of local. They're easy to root for. I have fun. So Giannis, man, seeing him roll up and like order some Chick-fil-A with the Larry O'Brien trophy and then the NBA Finals MVP trophy, and he's like, let me get 50 chicken nuggets. 50? Who eats 50? Well, the guy who scores 50 points in an NBA closeout game, that guy eats 50. While his teammates are out partying in Vegas, he's ordering Chick-fil-A with the people. So I think it's just been a lot of fun to pay attention to. And like I said, if basketball is like that every year, I'm going to become a bigger basketball guy. And you're going to see more Bulls articles coming out of me. Maybe if Laro ever invites me onto Bulls 101, we'll see if I can ever get on that show. How'd the Cubs do today? We have a very special show here. It's not going to be as long as our typical Crosstown Crosstalk shows. Those normally go about an hour. We have, without Joey, there's no conversation or anything to be had, and nobody really wants to hear me just sit here and talk to myself for longer than a half hour. So I really want to get into what is making me so excited about this show, and that's the fact that earlier this week I interviewed Chicago White Sox third-round pick and now prospect Sean Burke. He is a right-handed pitcher from Massachusetts. He went to St. John's High School over there in New England and played for Maryland, which I think is really cool, because that program is pumping out prospects like nobody's business. He confirmed with me in the interview that the Yankees drafted one of his teammates, something I forget him. You'll see more in the interview. He also confirmed to me some big news regarding his contract and his status with the White Sox. So I'm really excited for everyone to hear. Hopefully we're able to get some more of these guys. I really like interviewing baseball players because, especially ones that haven't made it yet, you'll see in this interview, he's in like his childhood bedroom that he grew up in, and he's got like little kid wallpaper. And I just think it was so cool. Like, they're human beings too. And, you know, this kid's about to make a crap load of money. Even if he just, his ceiling is like double A ball, he's going to get paid a lot of money to play baseball. And he gave me some time. So it was good to hear his story. And I'm actually going to throw it over to that interview with Sean Burke of Maryland and now your Chicago White Sox right now. And we are now in the interview portion of today's show. And we would like to welcome on a very special guest. And that special guest is Sean Burke, the newest third round pick of your Chicago White Sox. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's a thrill to have like an actual White Sox prospect on the show. We always talk about how we want to get like players and stuff on. So you're the first one we've had in a long list of like awesome guests, but you're the first actual player. So it's an honor. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So what was it like to hear your name called by a Major League Baseball organization in the third round? Like, that's gotta be crazy, right?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I think, you know, that, like we talked about before the show, kind of all day, all week leading up to that was pretty crazy. So to actually have that happen to me, it was an unreal feeling. Just to be surrounded by my family and friends during it was, you know, it was an awesome time, and it was something I'll always remember.
Absolutely. I saw the video that was posted on your Twitter of like you and your family celebrating when your name was called. Yeah. It had to be real cool being surrounded by all those people in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it definitely was. It was a little bit stressful throughout the day just because me and my agent were kind of going back and forth. We didn't really know, or we had a range of an idea of where we thought I was going to go, and to some teams I thought I was going to go. And then, you know, some things kind of ended up taking a turn in the middle of the draft. And once we figured things out, though, everybody was really excited.
Describe to White Sox fans the type of pitcher that they can expect to see. Like, what type of pitches do you like to throw? Mm-hmm. As you progress through, you know, your career going forward now, what can we expect to see?
I think first and foremost, I'm a competitor. That's something I always hang my hat on, is the ability to go out and win games. I think that's, you know, something I've done my whole entire life. As far as like pitch arsenal stuff, I think you're going to see a fastball, curveball, probably my best two pitches. I'll throw a slider. I've been working on a new cutter past couple weeks, so that's something I'm going to try to, you know, incorporate. Or once I get down to Chicago, get down to camp with them, talk to them about and see what kind of they think about that. And then I also throw a changeup too.
Very cool. I hope I get to see you eventually work with Ethan Katz, because some of the things he's been able to do with some of these pitchers has been really cool. Do guys like that call you once you're drafted? Like, do you speak to guys like that, or, you know, higher ups in the organization?
So I've talked to some of the front office guys. I haven't talked to Ethan. I talked to the pitching coordinator, actually Everett, the other day, just kind of a plan and what we've been doing for the summer and what we're going to do a little bit once we get into camp. But yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to be a part of an organization, like you said, that has done so well with a bunch of homegrown talent. So that's one thing for me, at least, that stuck out, where it's like, you know, I'm going to a team where I know they've had a really good track record of getting young pitchers up to the big leagues fast and then having them have success too. So that's one thing I'm really excited about.
There are so many good arms throughout the organization. I think of, like, at the major league level, of course, there's guys like Kopech and Garrett Crochet, but even throughout the minors, guys like Jared Kelly and Jonathan Stever, you're part of that now. Yeah. So that's got to feel pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, in learning from them too, I think that's another thing I'm really looking forward to, is, you know, being surrounded by so many good arms and, you know, trying to, you know, take bits and pieces from whatever they have and incorporate it into my game.
Is there any one pitcher throughout the organization that you look forward to meeting the most or learning from the most? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, one of my buddies on my team at Maryland is a big White Sox fan. He's from right outside of Chicago. And so I actually watched a lot of Lance Lynn this year. And he was a guy that kind of stuck out to me because he was a pretty high fastball usage guy. And that's, you know, something I also do. So I'd say probably Lance Lynn, and kind of picking his brain about his approach and going into games.
If there was a guy to try and ingratiate yourself with White Sox fans as well, I would say emulating Lance Lynn is
Lance Lynn. Yeah.
You know, the big bastard, like, you know, he looks like a White Sox fan. He'd fit in on this show.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely think that's a really good answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The thought of being an MLB player, that has to be the most exciting thing possible, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to eventually try to progress to that point. Mm-hmm. What do you anticipate that being like if you ever get that chance?
I mean, I think the journey is obviously going to have a lot of ups and downs, and that's something I'm prepared for, and that's something I've dealt with before, and so I'm ready to kind of embrace that journey. I think that the getting to the pinnacle of getting to the major leagues is, you know, something that's going to be a challenge, but something I'm ready for, like I said, and it's going to be an amazing experience, and I'm really excited to get to Chicago and help this team win games, because I know that we have a lot of young talent. We just signed Lynn for another extension, and this is a team that's going to be good for the next several years, I think. So I'm really excited to go be a part of that.
Absolutely. So you got through your redshirt sophomore season at Maryland?
Yes. Yes. So I missed my freshman year. I had Tommy John surgery coming out of high school. Missed my freshman year. Played in the COVID shortened year. So I made 4 starts that year. And then this was my first full year, basically.
What was that like, having Tommy John surgery and then all of a sudden being thrown into this pandemic type baseball season that caused a lot of players to not play the normal amount of games that they're used to playing?
Yeah, it was definitely weird. You know, seeing, it was tough, honestly, freshman year, watching from the sidelines, watching, you know, your friends and your teammates go out and compete. And we had a little bit of an up and down year my freshman year where I felt like I could really help them out and help them win games. But obviously having to watch from the sidelines was a little bit tough. And then, you know, once I finally got the opportunity to get back into it, it was, you know, you got 4 games and then you're done for the year. But I took that time off, I think, and used it pretty productively. So I was able to be, you know, really prepared for this year, this time around.
Absolutely. And you guys at Maryland, how do you feel that elevated you and brought you to being a somewhat high draft pick in a Major League Baseball draft? I mean, the third round's no joke.
Yeah.
You know, the White Sox obviously think very highly of you. Maryland probably had a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think the coaching staff over there does a really good job. And I think the talent they're starting to bring in is starting to match the level of recruiters that those people are over there. And, you know, and even in my grade, we had, you know, our shortstop got drafted by the Yankees. So we had a pretty good class coming in. And that's where, you know, I think if you were to look at me in high school, my senior year, and then me now in my junior year of college, you know, I'm a completely different pitcher for the better. You know, I think the development over that period of time was, you know, really good, what got me to this point, because I was a guy in high school that had received some attention, some draft attention in high school. Even though in the back of my mind, I kind of knew I was going to college and I needed to get a little bit better and develop to get to the point I wanted to get to. So I was really happy with the development that went down at Maryland and got me to where I'm at now. And I know that, you know, that's just kind of the building block for the future. And I know that, you know, hopefully I'm sitting here in the next, you know, 3-4 years, and I'm saying, you know, that pitcher I was my junior year in college is like nowhere where I'm at today. And I'm so much better than that. That's kind of just the path I want to keep going down.
Yeah. It's always interesting to me to hear about the development of college players and, you know, how their teammates influence them. And you said you had your shortstop was drafted by the Yankees.
Yeah, shortstop.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy to hear that for Maryland baseball, because I like hearing about these programs taking the next step. Do you see them moving on and continuing to keep that level of success?
Definitely. I think that, you know, we just picked up a new pitching coach. Our pitching coach ended up getting the new job at Wake Forest. So, you know, I think that we're going to continue to bring in a lot of talent. And I think that, you know, this year was one of the best years we've had probably since, you know, 2017. End of the year ranked, and we made a pretty good run in the regional. Ended up losing to East Carolina in the regional final. But, yeah, I thought from a talent perspective, and, you know, the youth we had on the team, was they're going to be continue to build on that in the years to come. So I really think the next, you know, 5-10 years, they're going to be one of the best programs in the country.
Very cool. Was it at Maryland, or what was the point in your life where you did something and you were like, oh, I can actually make it to Major League Baseball. I can be drafted. I could do this.
Yep. Honestly, I was young, probably, you know, 7 or 8 years old when I thought that, you know, I was obviously at that age, I was better than every kid pretty much in my town or my area. And you know, at that time, I didn't really, you know, have that realization like, oh, I know what it takes and I can do that. But at that age, I was like, hey, like, this is something I'm really good at, and this is a dream I want to go chase. So, I mean, from a pretty young age, I'd say that was one of my goals in life.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. You had the dream that all of us had, and you actually made it come true. So that's really cool.
Uh-huh.
You were the first pitcher that the White Sox selected.
Yes.
And also the first college player that they selected this season there. When you're that good at the major league level, it seems like you're also trying to like keep it going by drafting more prep school guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of seems like you're in their plans as a college drafted player. And it's going to be interesting to see where all the rankings come out after the, you know, I think it comes like some point in the halfway mark.
Mm-hmm.
But what are your thoughts on being that guy for the White Sox?
I'm excited about it. Like I said, I think this is an organization that, you know, you've seen it. They bring guys up fast. They're not afraid to add to their big league roster if they think that that's someone who can help them win. So, you know, obviously I want to make it up as fast as I can. I want to be the best player I can for the White Sox. And I think the combination of their development system and, you know, their, you know, organizational philosophy of bringing guys up when they're ready and bringing guys up they think can help them win is, you know, a great mix for me. And I'm just, you know, like I said, excited to get going with it.
Cool. Now you brought up Lance Lynn. Is there another favorite player you have on the White Sox? And also, I'd like to get your thoughts on the 2021 version of the team that you had as an outsider perspective before you were drafted by them. You said you had a buddy that's a White Sox fan.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on the team as a whole, favorite player?
So I actually – so I'm from Massachusetts. So growing up, I was a Red Sox fan. So I was kind of – Yoan Moncada was one of the Red Sox guys. So I've always kind of liked him. So Moncada would be another guy that I thought was, you know, a stud for the Red Sox and kind of, you know, sad to see him go. Kopech's another guy who was on the Red Sox. He kind of traded him away to the White Sox. But, yeah, I think that as an outsider, I always knew, like, it was kind of – they were, like – I think the past, you know, 2-3 years, it was like, okay, they're, like, kind of one step away from either, like, adding a piece or, you know, just kind of having another year or two under the belt, the younger guys having them develop and really – you know, get comfortable in the major leagues. And I think now is the point where like they're at that. And it's like, you know, this is their year to go win it. And I think, you know, like I said, I'm excited to be a part of a team that's trending in that direction. I didn't realize, I knew they were really good this year. And, you know, I knew they were at the top of the AL and I didn't realize how the separation between them and the rest of the AL Central was until kind of like this week when I started looking at it.
Yeah, they're the only team in the division with like a positive run differential, and they're like 100, and everyone else is minus.
Yeah,
so it's pretty cool. We're not as White Sox guys; we haven't been used to that over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah,
and it's funny you brought up Moncada and Kopech because that day that they traded Chris Sale was the day that they started building what you know today as the current roster, and it's one of the most fair trades in MLB history. So I'm glad you brought that up because Chris went on to do pretty well with Boston.
Yeah.
Massachusetts, pretty good, pretty good baseball area, I would say. New England is pumping out lots of good players, and development over there has been awesome, and I really enjoy seeing it personally.
Yeah, no, I think this year especially, like we saw, and we kind of knew this too, like my class in high school was really talented, and we knew that we had a really good class, and, you know, you saw probably, I want to say like 10 guys go probably in the top 10 rounds for Massachusetts, and, you know, we had – I think, you know, we had two first rounders. My buddy went to the Braves, actually 24th overall. So, I mean, there's a ton of studs in Massachusetts. And even in, you know, like I said, New England is a whole. I think that, you know, we're starting to kind of branch out and realize that, you know, just because we're from the Northeast and from a smaller area, there's no real difference. You know, I think that the best guys in the Northeast are just as good as the best guys anywhere else in the country.
Absolutely. Are you excited to come to the Midwest though for a little bit and see what's up over here?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit of a change. Just go, look, like I said, at Maryland, we would go and play. We played Illinois this year, at Illinois actually. We played Iowa and Nebraska, so we kind of got. I know it's a little bit different than that, but I get to experience it a little bit. I've never really been to Chicago, the city. I've driven by it when we flew in and out of Illinois, and I've been to the airport and stuff, but I never actually really spent time in the city. So I'm flying out there this Thursday to go sign and do the physical and everything like that. So I'm excited to kind of walk around a little bit, see what it's about.
Very cool. You're going to have a lot of fun. There's a lot of good places to eat, good places to, you know, hang out. So I think you'll enjoy that for sure. Mm-hmm. Is now that you brought up that you're coming here Thursday, is there a plan in place for your immediate future, like with Maryland or being still, you said you're going to be signed. So, you know, low A, high A, do they have a plan laid out for you?
So as of now, I'm going to Chicago on Thursday, and then they're having like a mini camp for us, I think just for the new drafted guys in Alabama down in Birmingham. So I think pretty much everybody's going to report down there. They're going to have us do a mini camp for, I think it actually starts today or tomorrow. I'm going down a little bit later just because I'm signing later. But they are having us do that for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, I think. And then after that, they'll pretty much kind of assess where I'm at. Well, we'll talk about kind of how I'm feeling, how, you know, what they want to see out of me, different stuff like that. And then we'll go from there as far as, you know, putting me in low A or going to Arizona or whatever the next plan may be.
For sure. And you're going to be surrounded by tons of great players if you're at this camp with a bunch of freshly drafted players.
Yeah.
Montgomery comes to mind, obviously, the first pick. He's, you know, he's a shortstop, but what position is he going to play if he ever reaches the major leagues, depending on timing? Is there anyone in particular? Maybe it is Montgomery. Maybe it's someone else. Someone you're looking forward to meeting?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so. Montgomery and me actually, we have the same agency. I've never met him personally, but I know my agent talks very highly of him, and obviously he's, you know, you saw he's a great talent. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited to meet him. I think really all the guys, honestly, just, you know, getting to know the guys in my draft class and, you know, hopefully building something in the future with those guys.
So, Sean, what is it you like to do when you're not playing baseball? Is there any hobbies in particular that you have?
Yeah, so I think outside of baseball, I used to play basketball. So I like playing pickup basketball a lot. I'll, you know, play video games. I'll watch movies. I picked up surfing this past year, actually. I don't know how that would be in Chicago. I've never been to the Great Lakes, so I'll have to kind of check that out. But that's something I kind of enjoy doing. Honestly, just hanging out with friends. Not doing anything crazy outside of baseball, I guess. Just like I said, playing sports, video games, going to the beach, hanging out, stuff like that. Fishing.
Yeah, I would say surf culture is not the biggest here.
Yeah, the Midwest. Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
It's in greatly. Hanging out at the beach, playing video games. There's plenty of that around the Chicagoland area for sure.
Yeah, I like. I'm interested to see kind of walk around because I do enjoy kind of exploring some cities. I'll go into Boston sometimes, Providence, down to Rhode Island, walk around, see what there is down there. So I'm excited for that too.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. As you know, I've seen my good friend Ryan Whitney put it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's always like, "Oh, Chicago, best city in the world. It's bigger than Boston, smaller than New York, cleaner than both. Five sports teams. You know, there's just so much fun to be had."
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on. It was a great interview.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
I wish you luck as you try to progress through the White Sox organization and make it to the major league level and see you at Guaranteed Rate Field someday. Is there anyone you want to shout out and thank for your journey to this point?
Yeah, definitely my family. I know that my parents, my sister, even my close friends, coaches, you know, everybody in that realm, I think is the reason I'm here. Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't be here without the sacrifices my parents made, my family made for me. So I'm just incredibly thankful for them, and I'm just trying to pay them back with everything I'm doing now.
Awesome. Very good. We're so happy to have you as part of the White Sox organization. We wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Much.
Messed that up. I was muted because of the interview. There you have it. The interview with Sean Burke, White Sox third round pick. I love the kid. I hope he progresses. We'll see him in low A eventually. He's going to sign. If we ever see him in double A, triple A, it's going to be fun. I'm rooting for him. I'll always have a little bias towards him now just because he was kind enough to come on this show. Like, hell yeah, kid, come up and play for the White Sox. The one thing I forgot to ask him that I really kind of regretted after was like, you're from New England. I forgot to ask him about Tom Brady. Like, did you grow up rooting for Tom Brady? Cause I want people who root for Tom Brady on the teams I cheer for, because those people are winners. We don't need no losers who don't like Tom Brady. Like, see ya. That kid probably roots for Tom Brady, which is why he's awesome. So he also, you know, the White Sox that night, they had a doubleheader with the Minnesota Twins that ended as well as any game I've ever seen them play. They went 2-2 against the Twins, 1-1 on that doubleheader day, but the second game, losing pretty much the whole game. Reynaldo Lopez started. You know, Lance Lynn, the first game was awesome, and they still lost. Then the second game, it's like, oh, no, we're in danger of having a doubleheader sweep by Minnesota, the ass Minnesota Twins. And then out of nowhere, Gavin Sheets, walk-off home run. So shout-out to Gavin Sheets. That Twin series just ended yesterday. They lost yesterday. But Jose Abreu, Andrew Vaughn, they led to a big win. Yoan Moncada, a big win on, I want to say it was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. No, it was Tuesday. And, you know, just another comeback win. You're going to lose games every now and then, but the way they win sometimes is like this team has it right now. And a big series coming up here. We brought up this town a little earlier in the show, the Milwaukee Brewers. It's tough. It's certainly going to be a tough stretch. After the way they played against the Twins and the Astros, especially the Astros, who they took 2 out of 3 from, I like their chances. It's going to be very hard. You got Giolito on the bump tomorrow. He's facing Peralta, so you know that's going to be tough. You got Rodon versus Corbin Burns on Saturday. That's a premier pitching matchup across Major League Baseball. I'm actually looking across the league right now, and it's hard to see a more marquee matchup right now than Rodon versus Corbin Burns. So we'll see what happens there. And then the White Sox get the misfortune of facing Woodruff on Sunday, the Brewers' ace, but he'll be going up against Lance Lynn. So it's not going to be a cup of tea for the Brew crew either. I'm excited for that series, as excited as I've ever been. Shout out to my friends reviewing the Brew, the fan-sided Brewers page. Those guys and I connect all season long, you know, enemy of the enemy, as we call each other. I wish those guys well, except for this weekend. I hope the White Sox smash their teeth in. I never got an official prediction from Joey. He never told it to me. But I'm going to go 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. And then following the Brewers, the White Sox, they have the Royals, who are the worst team in the division, and it's really not close. Minnesota's right there with them in record, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't think the Twins are a little better than the Royals. They ought to take 3 out of 4. You always want to say sweep when it's a team that bad, but it is Major League Baseball after all. So I'm going to go 3 out of 4 from the Royals, but they got to get through that Brewers series. You can't start to fall off. It's a good team. You got your good, you're probably your 3 best pitchers this season on the mound. So I'm excited to see what the White Sox can do against them. But there is a bit of news in the White Sox world that is less fun. And that's a couple Instagram posts from Yermin Mercedes yesterday. And Yermin was the best player in the major leagues in the month of April. And I mean that with absolutely no exaggeration whatsoever. All you got to do is look at the numbers. He was the rookie of the month. He looked like he could be like an MVP candidate if he kept that up. And then things started to fall off. The stuff with the 3-0 pitch. He announced that he's probably retiring. And after being sent to AAA earlier this month, you might remember when they called up Jake Berger, that was the same transaction. And it's kind of sad to see where this beautiful story has kind of taken a turn for the worst. I mean, Yermin Mercedes worked his life off to reach Major League Baseball. And it's just the way he got there, all those years in the independent league and being cut and being a Rule 5 draft pick, like people begging him to not play for them anymore. Like, it's just crazy how much he rose and how good he was for a while just to potentially be ending it all like that. It's just crazy to me. And, of course, if mental health or anything of that is involved, we wish him nothing but the best. But I really hope that it's not the end for Yermin, because he has a chance to be a Major League Baseball player. He might not get this close ever again. He made the roster because of Eloy Jimenez's injury. And now Jimenez is going to come back, and the roster spots are, you know, they're limited. But the White Sox, if they win the division by a steep amount, like it looks like they're going to, Yermin Mercedes deserves a lot of credit. He gets a ring if they win the World Series, in my opinion. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He helped them stay afloat in April when a couple of the pitchers had April arm. And, you know, Leury Garcia was getting every day at bats because everyone else was injured. And, you know, we're still figuring out what's going on with Carlos Rodon early in the season. Like, is this going to continue? Now it looks like it's going to. But in terms of offense, Jose Abreu and Yoan Moncada struggled in April. Now they're on fire because they're Yoan Moncada and Jose Abreu. But in April, it was Yermin Mercedes. That's who it was. And, you know, we hope that everything's okay. And, you know, Chuck Garfine reported last night that nobody was able to get in touch with him. And, you know, we just hope everything's okay with Yermin first and foremost. I'd like to see him play baseball again. I hope it's not the end, but if it is, all I can say is thank you. And I'm sorry to say, I was hard on Tony La Russa earlier in the season, as I should have been. He made some ass decisions. He was a complete dummy for a whole month, including criticizing Yermin. But with that in mind, he is not the reason that Yermin Mercedes is retiring. That is just a ridiculous claim. Did he start to slump from that point on? Yes. But is it because he's actually just not an MVP caliber baseball player? Also, probably yes. So I don't know what to say in terms of that. I know there's people on both sides of the fence when it comes to the Tony La Russa stuff. But as of right now, like, who cares? Let's make sure Yermin is okay. On to the Cubs. You know I really don't actually want to be talking. No, I'm kidding. The Cardinals, they're actually giving the Cubs a hard time, which is kind of unexpected from me because I'm out on the Cardinals. The Cubs took 2-3 from the Diamondbacks going into that series. So that was good to see. But it's the Diamondbacks. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They lost 17 straight earlier. And they're bad on the road. But this Cardinals series, I don't love the Cardinals. I think they're equally as overrated as the Cubs. Maybe even more. Because people pick the Cardinals to win the division early in the season. They're not winning no division. They might not even come in third. The Cubs and the Cardinals, those two teams are going to be battling for third and fourth because I actually like the Reds going into the rest of the season more than either of those two teams. And of course, the big story surrounding the Cubs right now, the fact that Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Craig Kimbrell, Anthony Rizzo, they're all on the trade block. Whether you want to believe it or not, they're on the trade block, especially KB and Kimbrell. And the return for those guys isn't going to be quite what you think. Think about what the Cubs have done in the last 3 years or so. They haven't been very good. They've been, you know, they won a couple division titles, wild card appearances, but their offense has been broken for a long time. Why? Well, because those guys I named, outside of Kimbrell, he's a pitcher, haven't been what they were before. They have not been superstars. That's just a fact. And you can't always just go by names. And as you see on the screen, Chris Bryant left two nights ago because he's nursing a tired hamstring. What? A what? My hamstring hurts. I'm here. I'm not a Major League Baseball player. I'm just kidding on that front. But, I mean, Chris Bryant, dude, either you're being traded and they're just covering it up with this tired hamstring thing, or you're soft as shit. Sorry. Chris Bryant's always been kind of soft, but he's not getting – anyone who thinks he's netting, like, multiple top 100 prospects, no shot. Give Jed Hoyer GM of the year if Chris Bryant lands the Cubs two top 100 prospects. And I am not exaggerating when I say that. I would vote for him to win GM of the year if he gets two top 10, 100 prospects for Chris Bryant. Scouts, according to Robert Murray, who I'm close with and I talk to frequently, he told me that scouts hate the Peterson trade. This Bryce Ball that they acquired, he's a power bat that might be a platoon guy going, you know, DH. That's not what you want in trades. That's not a good way to kickstart a retool or a rebuild, whatever you want to call it based on your allegiance. I mean, come on now. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, if I was Anthony Rizzo, I would just try to sign for whatever right now because he's a 32-year-old with an injured back first baseman. Good first baseman. Those guys, they're kind of a dime a dozen. The White Sox signed Abreu 5 years ago. They drafted Andrew Vaughn third overall, and they have five other guys who could play first base at a high level on the team. Yasmani Grandal, Zach Collins, Jake Berger. I mean, even Yermin Mercedes could probably pick up some first base if he wanted to. I mean, if I'm the Cubs, I'm trading all of them because it's been broken since 2017. The day they traded Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease to the White Sox for Jose Quintana, that was their last chance to try and win. Quintana didn't work out for them, and it's been downhill ever since. And that has nothing to do with the fact that the trades were to the White Sox. That has everything to do with the fact that the Astros got Verlander for basically nothing. The Cubs could have got Verlander for Jimenez and Cease. No, instead they got Quintana, who now stinks for the Angels. He doesn't even stink for you. He stinks for the Angels. So they got to be good with these trades. They got to try. And I cannot believe the way people defend some of these guys with how bad they've actually been. I mean, you can't beat the Cardinals, who are the most overrated team in baseball. I'm sorry. They got the D-backs coming up for three. They should be able to take care of their business against them. If they can't take care of their business against the D-backs, I don't know what to tell you. Then it's like even worse than I thought. And then you got the Reds for four. That's going to be tough. I got you sweeping the D-backs and taking one out of four from the Reds. That's my prediction for that. I just can't believe that the whole trade thing, people wanting them to sign all of them for the money. Javier Baez wants $200 million. For what? How good you were in 2018 and 2019? What have you done since? A lot of people often look at like careers as like a measurement of what you're worth now. You know what the most important thing in baseball is in terms of measuring you? Your last 10 games. I believe that. You know, people bring up that the fact that the White Sox got swept by the Yankees in May. I don't care. You think I care what the White Sox without Robert and Jimenez did against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium 2 months ago? No. The Astros series 2 series ago, that's something to build your evaluation on. But in a month from now, I'm not going to care what goes on, what went on in that Astros series. Because if the White Sox are slumping a month from now, I'm not going to say, oh, well, they beat the Astros. It doesn't matter. You have to be good now. And the Cubs haven't been that. Javier Baez's on-base percentage is abysmal. The fact that I don't even know if I'd give him 100 mil. If the White Sox traded a mid-level prospect or two for him and he played second base for them for the rest of this season and then walked, I'd be completely cool with that. Because he does provide power. He's going to hit 30 bombs and have 90-plus RBIs. His OPS will always be in the 700s or higher for that reason. But, and, you know, they have a lot of on-base percentage type guys batting around him, so he would benefit from that. You know, when he hits a home run, chances are someone's going to be on base because Yasmani Grandal will be in the lineup, Luis Robert, Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, Abreu, Anderson, like Andrew Vaughn even. It's all there for Baez to succeed, which is partially probably the reason he's struggling to get on base a little more with the Cubs. He's just a free swinger. And that's going to lead to a lot of strikeouts. And, you know, maybe he'd get better pitches to hit if he was in a deeper lineup. And so he's to me the most interesting piece out of all the Cubs, what they decide to do. And I kind of understand it from a business perspective too, because sports are entertainment. I mean, you watch sports and then you come on and watch talking heads like me talk about that. I mean, in a way, it's like, think of a TV show or like the WWE. Like, we all want the storylines. We all want the flash, the merch. That has everything to do with decision-making as well. And Javier Baez provides that. He's going to sell tickets. Oh, look at that sweet play Javi made. It doesn't matter that he has 17 errors. Because a lot of times he's going to make a sweet play and he's going to gun him out at first. And the Cubs want to put his face on a billboard or on a ticket stub or, you know, one of the signs outside the stadium. He's one of those types of guys. Facial recognition. So he is worth it in that aspect. But in terms of winning baseball games, I'm not sure how any of these guys help you beyond this year. Because it's not working now. It didn't work last year. You won the division last year basically because the Cardinals didn't turn it on until the end. Same thing with the Brew Crew. And that could have been the 60-game season showing its true colors, because I honestly think we can evaluate the 60-game season now better than we were able to last year, because the Brewers are awesome and they caught fire at the end of last season. At the end of the short season, they made the wild card. But they didn't have time to catch the Cubs because it was only 60 games. And then this year, they look like that team that ended last year. And the Cubs didn't score a single – what, they score one run in the playoffs last year in the two games? One or two runs total against the Marlins? I mean, this is me trying to speak to my Cub fan friends. That team needs to be better. And what they have right now is not getting it done. So Diamondbacks, Reds, we'll see what they can do against them by the next show. I don't even know the date today. Today's the 22nd. Yes, we have one more show before the MLB trade deadline. Me and Joey are probably going to base the entire show next Wednesday on that. And I'm very excited because the White Sox are buyers. The Cubs are sellers. It's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see what the Minnesota Twins do. Are they going to keep Donaldson? The White Sox only play them one more time. I wrote an article today for SouthsideShowdown.com. I don't want the Twins to trade Cruz. I know that outside of Aaron Rodgers, no one has torched a Chicago team more than Nelson Cruz has torched the White Sox. And I still don't want them to trade him because he's a designated hitter. Means they're probably trading him to an American League team. The only teams that would trade for someone that big are contenders. Do you want to see Nelson Cruz on the A's in October? What? How about the Rays? Oh, maybe the Astros. Oh, no? Okay, let's keep him on the Twins. Please, stop begging for Nelson Cruz to be traded. We don't want that. We have one more series with them, and it's in early August. Then we never see the Twins again till next season. Sayonara. So the trade deadline is going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to cover it. One more thing I want to talk about. Red Sox-Yankees. The rivalry's back. I know people probably get annoyed at me talking about it on this show, but I just love it so much. It's what got me into baseball. And seeing them play each other this week, Garrett Cole's going to go tonight. Or not tonight, tomorrow. Tonight's Montgomery versus Hoke, which should be a lot of fun, actually. I'm excited to watch that. Garrett Cole versus E-Rod. I mean, that's going to be awesome. The Red Sox are getting Chris Sale back, too. He's going to throw another simulated game on Saturday and hope that that's it. So I'm excited to see Chris Sale return to the Red Sox. The Mets have been a crazy team to watch these last week or so. Blowing 6-1 leads, coming back from 6-1, kicking the baseball over the field like it's a hot potato. I mean, just a crazy team to watch. You ever want entertainment? Watch the New York Mets. Because they're a first-place team that's kind of in first place because of the fact that they're in a weak sauce division. The New York Yankees actually have the same number of wins as the New York Mets. The Yankees are in third and 7 games out of first place. The Mets are in first by 3.5 games. Not all Major League Baseball divisions are created equally. And, you know, you're a product of where you align and how you go into the playoffs. And like I said, it comes with the White Sox and the Cubs too. Oh, the White Sox, they play a bunch of teams in the AL Central that stink. Well, they took care of the Astros. They 2-2 against the Red Sox, swept by the Yankees. Got to take care of that at the Field of Dreams. A couple more shows before that. But, I mean, you got to win the games that are in front of you. And the Mets have been doing that. The White Sox have been doing that. And the trade deadline is going to be interesting because our good friend in White Sox Twitter, Bob Nightingale, they call him Boob for a reason because he is a boob. He reported 3 weeks ago that the White Sox were going to have Eduardo Escobar. That's not happening. I mean, it might, but why hasn't it happened yet? So I'm excited to see what happens. I hope that everyone enjoyed the show. And it's been a lot of fun listening to that interview. I can't thank Sean Burke enough for coming on. It was an absolute blast. Excuse me, I don't mean to cough in everyone's face. Sean Burke, we're rooting for you to progress through the White Sox organization and get to AAA Major League Baseball. And I hope everyone tunes in next Wednesday to Crosstown Crosstalk. Or no, that's Thursday of next week. Next Wednesday's Bar Down Blackhawk Talk. And then, of course, South Burbs Hitman Monday night. Me and the boys are going to talk about all things White Sox. I'm sure we'll go over that interview. And I've been having a lot of fun. So thank you for everyone for listening, and we will catch you next week.